Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are dying. Our families are falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken. Oh Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Then will I forgive sin and
Good Sabbath morning to you. This is Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio. It's so good to see so many of you back this year. We're starting out this year, right? God has been truly blessing. I know I've been off the air here, so been off the air since sometime last year, November, but we are back. God has truly been blessing, dealing with all the issues of life. Sometimes, you know, we just get distracted and we forget that God indeed will make a way. If we lift our eyes back to him and let him know exactly what we are in need of, what is on our mind, what is bothering us. So as always, before we get started on the topic, I want to play a couple of songs for you. We're going to play Jermaine, Make a Way, and then we'll be right back with you to jump right into the topic. Enjoy the music. Remember, I do not own any of the rights. It is just for your listening pleasure.
Oh,
Welcome back. This is your host, Leona Ross, with If My People. Today's topic, as I stated, is we're going to be talking about the enemy's deception. You know, sometimes we go through so many things in life just back to back that it is utterly ridiculous. We get confused, we get caught up in our emotions, and we really don't know where to turn, especially when the enemy gets busy in our life with those things that bring chaos, those things that bring fear, those things that has that get us mentally and emotionally confused. Our friends can't help us. We're trying to talk to people, but they don't really understand how we really feel. And they may say the wrong thing to make you feel worse or make the matter worse. And then what happens? Then we're angry at them. They've been a lifelong friend, a close confidant, but now there is a rift between you. Because this situation, whether it be a circumstance, situation, a death in the family, some tragedy or some other tragedy, people don't always know what to say. People don't always know how to act. So sometimes we're offended because they don't say or act the way that we expect them to. See? The other problem is that the enemy throwing up false flags to get you, you know, to run towards his lies. You know, just because they have the appropriate response to your situation, now the enemy is sending thoughts to your mind that, hey, they don't really care about you. Oh, yeah, that's how they really feel about you. Or, yeah, they, you know, see, I told you, they wouldn't be there for you. These are all false flags, you know, because if that person has been there for you before this situation, before this tragedy, what makes you think that they're not there for you now? See? What makes you think that they're not there for you now? See? It's the enemy's tactic, his lies, his diversions, see, to make you think that, oh well, they're not really concerned. They don't care anything about you. They're not looking to help you. They've just been using you. Those are all false flags. The Bible says at 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. At 1 Peter 5 and 8, it said, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might be. You had a stable relationship. You had a stable friendship. And I'm not just talking about your friendships with people. I'm using that to bring that to the natural world. But we're also talking about our relationship with Christ. That most times when someone, as we see in this pandemic, as we see in this world now going through all of the chaos with the murders and the shootings and just the spirit of violence running rampant through the earth right now. As we see people, you know, around us, our loved ones dying for whatever reason, being lost, getting caught up in different situations and different things, it's so easy to go back and say, well, if God was real, he wouldn't allow this to happen to me. That's a false flag. That's a false flag from the enemy. God is always God. His word is faithful and his word is true. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, so shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me what? It shall not return unto me void. What has God spoken over your life? What has God said to you that you have seen come true in the past? What makes you think that won't continue in your life? Just because a situation comes up right now doesn't mean that you sinned and God has left you. Because his word said, I will never leave, nor will I ever forsake you.
God is God. He's not going anywhere. Most time when we're distant in our relationship with Christ, it's because we stepped away. It's because the enemy has put these burdens or these pressures on us to make us feel less than that which God has called us to be. God says, seek, ask, knock. Seek, ask, and knock at all times. He tells us in Psalms that I am a very present help in the time of trouble. If he's a very present help in the time of trouble, that lets us know that in these times when we don't know, when we are sure, when our mind is confused, that we just need to look unto him. We just need to come back to him. Stop falling for the tactics and schemes of the enemy. Because his job, his everyday task, when he gets up early in the morning until the very late hours in the midnight hour, his tactic is always to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to destroy our hope in Christ. He does that by manipulating us in our thoughts and in our emotions, making us feel less than anything that God has called us to or that God has promised. But if we can only remember that indeed, God is indeed faithful. He is not a man that he should lie. But what does the Bible say about Satan? Well, if we go to John 8:44, and this is into the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. From the very beginning, he was a liar. His character is not going to change. There is no hope for him to change. He can't change, neither will he ever change. As I said, he's about his building, his business, trying to steal, kill, and destroy your relationship with Christ. He does not want you happy. He definitely does not want you free, because as long as you are bound in sin, shaped in iniquity, then guess what? His soul, your soul belongs to him. See? So he's happy to see you destroyed. Why? Because number one, you are in a place where he can never be again. You are able to go into the presence of God. You are able to sing praises unto the Lord, which is something that he can never do again. Remember, he was the son of the morning. He was the first thing that God saw in the morning, the last thing he saw in the evening. He was the prince of praise to the Lord Almighty. But when he decided, like it says in Isaiah chapter 14, it says, hey, I don't want to be this anymore. You know, I want to be greater. Why is God getting all of this glory and I'm not getting any? See? I'm not getting any. So he began to plot and to plan. He began to talk to the other angels. And he had this great plan that he was going to become greater than God, because he coveted the praises and the place that God was in. See? So he said in Isaiah 14, we'll start at verse 12. Isaiah 14 and 12, he said, oh, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. See, I told you he was called son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the earth? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. He wasn't happy just being the son of the morning. He wasn't just happy serving God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be in his place. See, in verse 15, Isaiah 14 and 15, it said, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake heavens, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in the burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned." See, so he said, listen, you had all this stuff. God gave you everything. But because you despise his creation, you despise man. See, you didn't want to bow down to him as God commanded you, because he said man was just made a little bit lower than the angels. And he gave us power and authority over the angels that we could command them as they will, only through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan wasn't having any of that. He said, you done made this thing from the dust of the earth, and you want me to bow down to it? Nah, it ain't happening. I ain't doing it. I don't know. I done been here all these thousand of years, and then you just make this little creation that's made in your image. If God, if Satan, who is the father of lies and a destroyer, didn't want to bow down to God, do you really think that he's going to bow down to you? And the Bible says that God was, that you were made in the image of God, that God made man in his image. So what is he looking at when he sees you? Of course, if you are in Christ, what does he see? He sees God-like images walking around in the earth, his people, God's people looking like him. And since he despised God from the beginning, oh yeah, he despises you. That's why it says in the Bible that we have a real adversary. See? A true adversary. See? He goes around seeking whom he may devour. Revelations 12 and 9. "And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." That's why, be careful, people. Be careful, men and women of God, who you speak with, who you sit in circles with, because you don't know. That's why you got to know the very intent of a person's heart. You got to know people by their spirit, see, because everybody who sits and smiles and laughs in your face, they are not your friend. They don't necessarily want the best for you. They very well may be just hangers on to see what they can get out of you, motivated by the spirit of the evil one under demonic deception. See? To come against you because you're trying to live a life of Christ. You're trying to be obedient to that which Christ has called you to do. See? But the enemy, seeing that, has to put something in your way. He has to put a roadblock. He has to put a boulder. He has to put something in your way that's going to deter you, that's going to stop you, that's going to distract you. And that's what false flags do. This is what they do. They have you looking at one thing on the left while they're causing chaos on the right. So you may be upset because your friend, your close loved one, or whomever has passed away, or the relationship broke up, or what have you, and you're focusing on that. Well, over here, he's getting busy in your finances. He's getting busy on your job, causing chaos in all of these places because your mind is only focused on this thing. Your emotional state of mind is focused on that lost relationship or that person who passed away. And you're so entrenched in that every other aspect of your life you're really not paying attention to. And you may have entrusted somebody else to take care of this part or take care of that part, but can they really be trusted to do it? Are they truly with you? See, that's why the Bible says through everything, through prayer and supplication, before we make a decision, before we make a move in our life, we ought to be going to God and say, Father, direct me, especially in the midst of chaos, especially in the midst of an emotional state. Sometimes you just got to cut everything and everybody off and just get in the presence of God just to see what direction that he needs for you to go in, needs you to move. See, so that way it won't matter what the enemy does, because your prayer life and your relationship and your conversation with the Lord God Almighty, with the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to expose every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. See? It's going to expose it. And God will direct, as it says in Psalms, he will direct your path, because he is a light, what? Beneath your feet. As it says in Ephesians, beautiful are the feet of those that what? Preach the gospel, because God is guiding your feet on the path of righteousness. So even though the enemy may throw up a roadblock, he may throw up a boulder here, guess what? God has already made a way. He has already made a way for you to go around there. Yeah, it may seem like, oh, well, it's hindering you for a minute, but our mercies are renewed every morning. You put what happened behind you yesterday, and you move on to the promise of God today. See? And that way, you don't lose your joy. You don't lose your hope. You're still making progress in the things that God has called you to. Therefore, the enemy doesn't get too busy, and he knows that he's already defeated, because you still have your joy. You're still praising God. You're still moving forward. You're still making progress. And his little tactic, his little lie, his little false scheme didn't just keep you focused or make you have tunnel vision on just this one thing over here, but you have the fullness of God. As he says that he has come to give life, and that more abundantly. He's given you abundant life by looking at the things in your entire life, your entire being, your entire circumstance, not just one direction. See, God is omnipresent. The enemy isn't. God is omnipotent. The enemy isn't. So we are able, God is able to see any and every aspect of our lives. And that being the case, anywhere that the enemy gets, or any foothold that he tries to enter in on, guess what? God already got it. Nope, they already prayed about that. You block. In the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, in Job chapter 1, Satan comes in with the sons of God, and he asks God, you know, God asks him, he says, what are you doing here? And he said, oh, I've been wandering around to and fro throughout the earth seeking, you know, whom I can devour. And God offers up his servant Job. And he said, God says, have you considered my servant? And immediately, you know that he has been watching Job, because he says, how can I? You got a hedge of protection around him. I can't do nothing with him. So that's how it is when we're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. See, the enemy is watching us, but because we are covered, because we are within God's will, because God's hand is up on us, there is nothing the enemy, there is only so much he can do. There is only so much he can do because God will not allow it. We are then protected by his word and our obedience to his law, to his statutes, by his grace and mercy. See? So this is Satan coming in the presence of God, telling him about this man of God. And he's telling him, I can't do nothing because you got this hedge of protection around him. So, but let me tell you this, God, does Job fear you for nothing? You done placed this hedge of protection around him and his household and everything that he owns. You've even blessed the work of his hands, all of his possessions. You give him the increase. But I'm telling you, God, if you stretch out your hand against him and you take everything away from him, I bet you he will curse you to your face. He will not serve you anymore. In other words, Satan was saying to God that Job's just serving you for the stuff. He's just loyal to you because you blessing him, because you gave him a great car, great house. You know, that's the only reason he's serving him. And how many of us, and how many of us have fallen into that trap? When things get bad in our lives, you know, when we start to lose stuff, or we lose a job, or we lose a house, or we lose a car, or calamity in whatever form comes into our lives, we begin to blame God. Oh, God, if you wouldn't have did this. Rather than saying, the Lord, as Job stated, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you think that God didn't see when you lost that job? Isn't he still Jehovah Jireh? Isn't he still able to provide? Don't you know that there's another job or another opportunity out there for you that's better than this, that it's going to give you the peace that passes all understanding? Because while you was on that job, you were constantly complaining about the people stressing you about not making enough money for the work that you were doing, about not being respected, about not being valued. And you think God didn't hear that? So you're looking at that as a bad situation rather than as a better opportunity. Because remember, God says that I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He said that all things work together for the good of them that what love the Lord. So even though you lost this job, guess what? I got something better in store for you. Do you not know that? So rather than curse God and ask God and blame God, look to the one who may be causing the calamity. Look within inside yourself and remember that, hey, I ain't happy here no way, God. I know if you allow this to happen, then guess what? You must have something better for me. And just be patient and wait upon the Lord. But see, it's difficult for us to wait because we are a generation of people who want things right now. We have been indoctrinated, have been programmed in school, in life, in television, in the media, in social media, that anything that's worth having is worth having right now. We lost the moral ethic or the work ethic that if we're going to have something, anything worth having is worth working for. We don't want to work and save for the new house. No, we want to figure out how we can get it quickly, how we can make that quick money so we can get that car, so we can get that house. You know, we don't plan. And when we don't plan, what we do is plan to fail. But we God, his word said, all things are possible to them that what? To them that believe. So whatever tactic, plot, scheme, false flag that the enemy throws up in our life, at the end of the day, if we know that if God be for us, then who could be against us? Guess what? We're going to overcome that situation and obtain exactly what God said in our lives. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. I know what it is that I plan for you. And the enemy can't change that. The enemy can't take that away. So why pay attention to what the enemy is doing over here rather than keeping your eyes focused on me and what I am doing in your life? Don't be led by your emotions. Don't be led because you don't feel good today or this is a bad situation or like this pandemic. Oh, everybody's dying. No, everybody's not dying. Those whose time it is dying. Those who God has called home are dying. See? One way to look at it. I'm not saying it's the only way. One way to look at it. That way we don't get caught up in feeling so distraught because a loved one passed away. Or so distraught because a relationship came to an end. Do you still love that person? Do you still care about that person? Or are you lying to yourself, allowing the enemy, the tactic, the deceptive tactics of the enemy to say, oh, well, you know, I don't care anymore? How you going to care one day and then not? How you going to love one day, love and care one day, and then the next day you don't? You're lying. Admit the truth to yourself. God's word is truth. You can say, oh, yeah, well, the relationship didn't last, but, yeah, I still care about that person. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. Yes, I still love that person. We just can't be together. Maybe we're better off just as friends rather than allowing the deceptive tactics of the enemy to cause you to speak words against that person that, you know, you don't mean. You're moving on your emotions. It's a false flag that the enemy has thrown up in your life to get you out of the will of God. And the more you speak those negatives, so as a man thinketh, so is he. As the Bible says, speak those things, see, that are not. See? So what are you speaking? If you're saying that, you know, good and well, you still have feelings for this person, but you're speaking that you hate them. You're speaking all these negative things about them and over them. But yet you know within and of yourself that is not true. So then what? So then these feelings, these thoughts manifest in your spirit and they become exactly what you have spoken over yourself. Now you have a heart that is full of hate, full of mistrust. You don't want to be in another relationship because now it's not just that man or that woman. Now everybody is a liar. Now everybody is a cheater. Now nobody can be trusted. When no, the fault lies within yourself because you were not true to what you were feeling. You allowed that false flag, the spirit of deception sent by the enemy to emanate. First, it was a seed planted in your mind. Then you spoke it out of your mouth. And then your very thoughts became actions. It became how you felt. Hurt women or hurt men, you oftentimes hear them say, oh, well, he ain't no good. Oh, well, she ain't no good. Or all men ain't no good. Or all women hoes. No, no, no. Just the ones you've dealt with. Just the ones you've allowed to come into your lives. Just the ones that you have allowed that spirit to draw you to. See, because if you don't clean your own house up, guess what? People who like a dirty house, they're going to draw other people who like a dirty house. Like spirit, draw like spirits. So if you find yourself in the same situation time and time again, check yourself. Check yourself. What are you, what are you drawing to you? What kind of person indeed are you? What is the very, as the Bible say, what is the very intent of your heart? Look at the crowd that you associate with. See, still talking about the enemy's tactics, the deceptive tactics that he uses in our life. We will tell ourselves it's not us, it's them, and never look in the mirror at ourselves and say, maybe I need to examine my character. What is it about me that I keep drawing cheaters and liars, whoremongers to me? But I'm still saying that I'm a man, a woman of God. But what is my character? How do I really act when I'm outside of the church, when I'm away from the saints of God, when I'm not within the midst of the congregation? How do I really carry myself? And if I truly love my brother or my sister, or if I truly love this person, am I really showing the characteristics of Christ as I say that I love them, or is it just for show? Is the sisterly church hug only when I'm in the congregation at a Bible study or at a church service? Or is it when they see me on the street, I'm the same person? I have the same walk. I have the same talk. I have the same characteristics. Or do I walk by and act like I don't see them until they call my name, and then I tell that lie, oh, girl, I ain't even see you. Knowing well you saw them, but because you was with this person, huh? Or you had was just coming out of the liquor store or out of the club, you want to pretend that you didn't see them because, you know, a man, a woman, a God not supposed to be in those places. Amen. Going on, say it. Ouch. It hurt a little bit when it's the truth. See? Because we can't live a lie, because you are only deceiving yourself. And if you're living a lie, guess what? The Bible calls you a hypocrite. Because you're one way in front of God's people, and then you're living your life another way. See? You've fallen for the lies. You're justifying the sin in your life and calling it holiness. And it is not. You calling it righteous. It is not. You're allowing the enemy to make you think that the bad things are good and the good things are bad. Well, they just too holy. Well, they as my friend liked to say, them holy rollers. They talk a good game, but they don't live it. They are sanctified and holy in front of the church members. Well, when it comes down to normal people, nobody wants to lift them up. No, I can't talk to her. Do you see how she dressed? Well, let me ask you a question. Before you so-called got saved, was filled with the Holy Spirit or whatever you want to call it, how did you dress? How did you talk? How did you act? Lest we forget, we always got to reach back and help somebody else, because the Bible says that we overcome by the words of our testimony. What is our testimony? A testimony is words of overcoming, words of change. That you can look back and say, yeah, I used to smoke. Yeah, I used to drink. Yeah, I used to smoke weed. Oh, Pastor Ross, we don't believe it. You used to be in a reggae club smoking blunt. I don't care what you don't believe, is what I used to do. I am not ashamed of where God brought me from. Did I used to have a PhD in profanity? Definitely so. You see, invent curse word. Every other word out of my mouth used to be a curse word. Was I mean? Was I hateful? Yes. But that is not who I am anymore. All of that, God had to deliver me from. But he had to show me first, and that those things in my life, the way I was acting, the way I was talking, the way I was living, was not pleasing to him. And if I truly wanted to be in the character of Christ, then guess what? I couldn't justify those things anymore. I couldn't use the enemy's word and say, oh, well, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And use that to not change. Because that's what it is. It's an excuse not to change. Yes, it is the word of God. Yes, the Bible says that. But you use that to bring change about in your life, not to stay where you are, not to justify your wrongdoing. The word of God was never meant for that. It was never meant for us to justify our wrongdoing. No. It was meant to effect the change in your life. That's why Christ says, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. In other words, if he didn't come so that you could change, so that you could live in the very image of God as he created you in, that you might have that life coming to the light and out of the darkness, then it was no reason for him to die. It was no reason for him to go to the cross so that all of our sins are forgiven. Another false flag as we're talking about sins. God never wanted us to focus on the sins. He wanted us to focus on him. Psalm says, look to the hills from which cometh my help. Not look to the things that you have done, that you are ashamed of, that make you feel bad, that make you think that you are just not good enough or that you are unworthy of the blood that I shed for you. There is no sin that is not known to Christ that he did not die for. He knows everything that you're caught up in. That's why Romans 8:1, it says there is no condemnation in Christ because Christ does not condemn you. Because why? He died for every sin known to man. So why are you being ashamed? Why do you think that Christ can't save you? That's another false flag of the enemy, causing you to look at all the wrongdoing in your life and think that God is not big enough to love you regardless of that, when the very word of God and the very essence of God is love. We say it all the time. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who is the world? He's not talking about the crust and dirt and trees of the earth. He's talking about his people that he created in his image, that even though they walked and betrayed him and served other gods and did all manner of evil against him, he still loved them. He still had to find a way to bring them back to him. Even after Adam ate of the tree of good and evil, which he told him not to, causing a rift in the spirit realm, a separation. Because before Adam ate, him and God were unified in the spirit. It was not a fleshly relationship. It was a spiritual relationship. They were one, united. It's evident when God brought the animals to Adam and he told him, he said, whatever you call this, this is what it is. This is what it's going to be. And even to this day, an elephant is an elephant. A tiger is a tiger. Whatever Adam named it, that is exactly what it is. Creation. Creation came from God, and when God blew his breath into Adam, creation was in Adam. That's why it says in Genesis that when Adam ate, creation fell. No longer was creation dwelling in clay, dirt, the body of Adam any longer. Because when he disobeyed God, he caused a spiritual separation. And God had to remove him from his presence. Out of the Garden of Eden. He could no longer be in that midst where he had all dominion and all power. And we lost that. And the enemy was able to run rampant. But when we come into Christ, when we accept Christ or invite Christ into our house, into this vessel, into this dirt clay body that when we pass away, it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We're going to go back to the earth from which we were created in the beginning of time. See? So in this clay vessel, when we accept Christ, we allow his, by his Holy Spirit, to come in back into us, back into the, we are restored back into our original place in God. That's why it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, because he had to have a way to enter back into the lives of his people. That his people could be in his presence, that he could worship them, that we would be able to worship him in spirit first and in truth following. Why in spirit? Because we were spirit first. Truth speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what does he say? I am the truth, the way, and the life. Truth. In spirit and truth. Then when we know that, when we take our eyes off the circumstance, when we take our eyes off every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy, as I say, all of the false flags that they put up, just like in this world today, when our country wanted to go to war, way back in 1941 or whenever Pearl Harbor happened, the country didn't want to get into World War II. They wasn't going to get into World War II. So what did our government do? They threw up a false flag. They knew those planes were coming, but did they warn those people? No. Study the documentary. Study the evidence on Pearl Harbor, as well as study the evidence on the 9/11 attack. They knew those things were going to happen. It was an avenue for them to get what they wanted. They wanted to go to war, but the American people wasn't having it. So in order for them to get what they wanted, what did they do? They caused a tragedy that got the American people emotionally involved, that they was going to cry out for exactly what the government was already aiming for. We want to go to war. Because them people over there got something we want. We got a bomb that we want to test, so we want to go to war. But we know that the American people are not going to go along with it. But if we make it seem like it's their idea, like it's something they want, which is the same tactic of the enemy by deception. He make you feel like this is such a good thing in your life. When you know deep down on the inside of you, yeah, I don't think that's really what God wants me to do, but it feels good. You're moving out of your emotions rather than out of the will of God. So sometimes we have to put our emotions aside. We have to think logically. Go to God and say, Father, you know what? I don't know. Right now, this is how I feel. And see, that's the thing that a lot of us don't understand. God does care about how you feel. God does care about what you feel. See? Because when Hannah went to the temple and she was crying out to God because she was barren, her husband told her at the house, he said, her husband Elkanah, he told her, he said, ain't I better to you than 10 sons? But Hannah was so emotional because Peninnah, the first wife, would always ridicule her about not having a child. And Peninnah had she had children. She had given Elkanah these children, and to a Jewish woman, you know, being barren in those times was a curse. Of course, we got in vitro fertilization and all of this stuff now that can assist women and surrogate mothers and all of this stuff and artificial insemination and all of this stuff going on today. But back then, they didn't have that. They only had one person to depend on, and that was God. So she ran to the temple, and she cried out of her heart. And she promised God, if you give me a son, Lord, I'll give him back to you. And she cried, and she was crying so hard and so much so that the prophet Eli came to her. And this is in the book of 1 Samuel. Read it later. And he said to her, woman, put away thy drunkenness. See how the enemy is busy. It looked like because she crying, and this is the time of feast, that this lady is drunk, crying on the temple. And even the prophet didn't, you know, the enemy had deceived the prophet. See? Calling what's good bad. She's crying out to God, but he told her she was drunk. And she said, no. Don't count your servant as a daughter of Belial. You know, she said, my heart is broken. And out of the abundance of my heart, I'm crying out to God for what I want. See, and she said, he said, he really didn't want to be bothered. He said, well, woman, go away from here and be as whatever you pray. Just be it unto you as whatever you pray. And she did conceive a child. And not only that, five more after that, because she kept her promise to God and brought Samuel back to the temple, to the very person, the very same Eli, prophet Eli, who didn't even know why she was crying in the first place, because he was totally out of the will of God. He had turned a blind eye to all that his sons were doing in the temple. And God had already warned him, Eli, you need to correct your children. But see, you got to remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that we might be redeemed back unto him. See, we can't love our children more than holiness or righteousness. If they're not doing right, guess what? We got to, hey, you know what? I don't agree with that. That ain't right. No, we can't say, oh, they're just teenagers. Okay. It's going to lead them to destruction. That's the deception of the enemy. The Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. No, they're not just teenagers. See, and later on when they're incarcerated, or later on when calamity comes and God forbid they lose their life, it's everybody else's fault. No. No, not when you know what they were doing. Not when you know you were seeing the evil that they were doing, the wrong things that they were doing, and you didn't bother to correct them. So no, I'm sorry, mother. Father, auntie, uncle, parental figure, if you knew that they were caught up in these things and you did not do anything to correct their behavior, to correct their character, then guess what? The fault lies in you. See, because the opportunity was there for you to make a move to change their behavior. But no, they're just being teenagers. Oh, little Johnny, that's so cute. No. When you put your child in adult clothes and her little bun buns are out hanging out of the back of her little tights or back of her little panties, and you got her all on social media everywhere looking like, you know, a grown woman rather than the 5, 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old child that he or she is. And then the child is molested. The child is raped. The child is taken, raped, and murdered. And I'm not saying that the perverted person who do these things is right, but I'm saying you're playing into the hands of the enemy. No, it's not cute. But because it's been put out there by social media, television and everything else, that this is why, how we need to this is how or what we need to do to make our children famous, to make money. Again, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. You'll sell your soul for money. You're selling your children for money because you think that this is the end thing to do, and you're putting your children in harm's way. So just beware. What
I want to say to you today, beware of the false flags of the enemy. Don't go along with the in crowd. When things come in your life and it's just confusing, remember, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Don't make an irrational decision when you are in an emotional state. Take some time away. Go pray. Seek God. If your friends aren't hearing or those close to you aren't hearing what you have to say, maybe it's just time for you to hush. Get in a quiet place and spend some time with the Father. Hear what he has to say. Allow him to direct your path into the direction that is best for your life, not something that's going to cause you more strife and more pain. Recognize the false flags of the enemy. Recognize the distraction, the deception. That just because it feels good, just because it sounds good, just because it looks good, don't mean it is good. Remember, the Bible says anger and sin not. Of course, people do things to make us angry. People do stuff every day. But do we need to react to it right then and there? No. Because if you're angry and you react to it right then and there, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be happy with the consequences. You do not. You don't want to have to deal with those consequences. And the first thing you say is, oh, I didn't mean to. Yeah, I didn't mean to. No, you didn't mean to. You let your emotions get in the way. You let that false flag of the enemy deceive you. And it took you to a place where you were never meant to be in the first place. Because you just didn't stop and say, nope, God, no, no. I'm not going to do this. I just need a time out. Let me go think about some stuff. Let me go pray about some stuff first. I'm not going to react to that right now. And most times when calamity comes, that's what happens. We have a little thing, a little mountain, a little imp that comes and throws something up. As my daughter liked to say, it's a trigger. It's a trigger. And rather than respond to that trigger, like, nope, I'm not going to do that, Lord. You got this. You see this. I'm not going to do this right now. Let me take a minute. Let me go pray. Let me go seek your face. No, I'm not going to do this. But instead, we go rushing head in, and the enemy is sitting back laughing at us because we fail for the okey-doke yet again. We fail for the mess that he was throwing out there. His plan worked out exactly like we wanted it to, causing division, causing hatred. See, causing conflict, a bigger conflict than it even started out to be. When if we just had to sit there and say, Father, help me right now because I'm angry, I'm upset. I don't know what to do. Admit you don't know what to do. Some things are going to be out of our hands. We cannot handle everything in an emotional state. And I'd be safe to say we cannot handle anything when we're in an emotional state. See? 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. See? James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you say, nope, I'm not going to deal with this right now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to pray, guess what? The enemy sees it here. Why are you going to pray? Why you want to do that? Wasn't you just really upset a minute ago? Why didn't you just act on that?
Why don't you just, I threw it out there to get your attention, to distract you from everything else that you had going on, to distract you from your prayer life, to distract you from your relationship with God, because I wanted you to react to this, because after that, I had something else planned for you. But no, you want to go and ignore my flag. You want to ignore the circumstance that are the chaos, that the so-called tragedy that I'm trying to throw up in your life, but that I threw up in your life. You want to ignore that, not deal with it right now, when I want you to deal with it right now, because your emotions are high, and I got you right where you want, where I need you to be, to fall into the trap. But when you say, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to go and pray, he know he's defeated. That's how you resist the tactics of the enemy. You resist his deception. The Bible says in all things with prayer and supplication. In all things. See? In all things. In all manner of prayer. See? Prayer. See, because that is how we defeat the enemy. Philippians 4:6-7. See, be anxious for nothing. That means don't run into it, you know, headlong. Don't do that. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Not only is it going to guard your heart, how you feeling and what you have in your heart at that moment, but it's going to guard your mind, and it's going to bring you back down to that reality, like, okay, maybe this ain't so bad as I think it is. God, you're gonna keep me in this situation. You're gonna protect me. I'm not falling for the deception of the enemy. I know you got me, and I know you got this. And although it may be hard right now, I know that you are going to make a way out for me right now. Because you brought me back to that peaceful place where now I'm not responding out of emotion. I'm not responding out of fear. I'm not responding out of the circumstance. I am of sound mind right now, and I can make the best decision for my life and for this situation right now. See? And the enemy seeing the Spirit of God show up, he cannot stand in the presence of God. See, he say he comes as an angel of light. But we know that light overcomes darkness. And when God's Spirit show up in the room, the angel and his little flashlight, you know, the sunlight takes that over. It doesn't even matter. It is so minute that you don't even see it. See, so when he thought he had you, he finds out that he didn't. He got to go and make another plan for tomorrow. Because remember, he's on his job every day. That's why we have to be aware of his tactics. So don't fall for the false flags. Don't fall for the deception of the enemy. Don't allow him to deceive you and get you off your square, that you are not able to operate and have the joy and have the peace that God has promised you. Because remember, he said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And that encompasses every area of your life, that no matter what goes on, that no matter what's going on in the world or what's going on in your life, God is still there, and he is still able to give you that peace that passes all understanding. It might take you a day. It might take you a couple of days. You might have to shut folks off for 2 or 3 days or what have you. But as long as you are in the presence of God, know that his word is not going to return to him void. He's going to bring you that peace. You might be hollering, screaming, crying at the top of your voice because you're so frustrated and you don't know what to do. I know I've been in a situation and I say, God,
If you don't help me, I just ain't going to be helped. And on the other hand, I've allowed the spirit of anger to cause me to do things that I truly regretted. Put me in a jail cell overnight for overreacting to a false flag of the enemy. But when I came to myself, and I told God, I said, Lord, if you get me out of this, I will serve you for the rest of my life. God didn't allow what the enemy had set up for me to cause me to possibly go to prison. He didn't allow it to manifest. He did not allow the enemy's plan to manifest in my life. Instead, he brought me out of that situation with favor and set me on the path of righteousness that I could become the woman of God that I am today. I ain't going to say it was always easy because I had a lot of things that I had to be delivered from. It just didn't happen overnight. I didn't just leave the jail cell, you know, the next morning or the next afternoon when I got out and that next day I was Pastor Ross. No, it was years in progress. Because the only thing I said, well, God, I just want to be saved. Did I stop sinning right then? Nope. Did I stop going to clubs right then? Nope. It's a process. Just like with any relationship. I want to know how many of you met your husbands or met your wives and one day and the next day you was married. No. You had to get to know that person. And I'm not talking about these countries that have an arranged marriage because I know that happens. But I'm talking about where you have the free will to say yay or nay to that person. You met them and they asked you to marry them and you said okay and the next day y'all was married. No, I don't think it happens that way. No, you had to get to know that person. You had to get to know their characteristics. You had to get to know their likes and dislikes. And it's the same thing when you're coming into a relationship with Christ Jesus. You have to get to know the things that he dislikes about your character, about your life. He says he looks at the very intent of your heart. And you have to get in the mirror and examine them, those things. And maybe you think they're okay at day one, but 5-10 years down the line, you don't think it's okay now. See, because now you are building more the character of Christ in you. How many people y'all know that's been married for years and years, 10, 20 years? And you're like, man, they act alike. Man, they finish each other's sentences. See? So is too the relationship in Christ, the relationship with Christ. Your walk changes, your talk changes, your ideas change. Your very character becomes more like that of God. Because now you're spending time, you're reading the word, you're praying, you're asking questions, not just of your leaders, but you're praying and asking questions of God. And God is speaking answers to you. Don't believe the lie that God only speaks to a pastor. Because before I was a pastor, God was speaking to me. I didn't even know I was going to be a pastor. When I was yet in my sinful state, God was speaking to me and sending me warnings while I was yet a sinner. But do we have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church? He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you right to the place where he needs you to be. Remember, he said, I know the plans that I have for you. So if he knows the plans that he has for you, is he going to tell somebody that you don't know if you're not in church? How are you going to go ask the pastor? No, he's going to tell you, whether it's in word, whether it's in dreams or vision, or whether it's just through the thoughts in your mind, that still small voice that speaks to you while you're yet in the midst of your sin to tell you, you don't want to do that. Now you don't want to go over there. How many of you have
have decided that you're going to go this place and you're going to go do that thing, and you say, and you say, no, I don't think I better do that. And then you say, no, I ain't going. And you don't go. And you hear about it later that calamity happened in that place, and you're like, thank God I ain't go. Yeah, exactly. Thank God. See? So when we're not so distracted by the false flags of the enemy, we can hear the voice of God in our lives, and we can allow him to move in the way that he wants to move, and no longer how we think, how we feel, but truly by the Spirit of God. Because remember, he said, let us worship him in spirit and truth. See? And if we remember that our health cometh from the Lord, and he is the restorer of our faith. He is the giver of our peace. He is the giver of all good things in our lives. That regardless of how bad it seems, God is able to bring us that peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because he gave his son for us, that we might come into a right relationship with him, because he loves us just that much. And if you don't remember anything else, remember that. Remember that. And those of us who've truly been in love, we know that we long to be with that person who we are deeply in love with. We really, truly long. It's like having a hunger pain for food or something. Oh, yeah, I just got to be with them. You know that feeling? Magnify that by 1,000,000 times. That's how God feels about you. And if he feels that about you, then how then? How then could he ever not come to your rescue? When his word says, I will never leave nor forsake you. So these are just some things I want you to think on today. We'll be back again next week, 12 noon, Saturday. Again, for If My People, I do hope that this word has blessed your soul, caused you to think about some things, and just know how empowered you are through Christ Jesus. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in with me. We're going to go out of here with Sinash Waymaker. Happy New Year to all of y'all. I'm praying that it is a very blessed and prosperous year for you, and that the joy of the Lord indwells you daily, in Jesus' mighty name.
Up your head. I worship you. I worship.